That includes now going to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline to welcome to the show David Cobb, who covers college football, college hoops as well for CBSSports.com, joins us now. David, we appreciate the time. Tennessee had its first real test under Josh Heupel. It's a game that offered a lot, including now a big quarterback conversation coming out of it. Where are you on Tennessee coming out of a one-score game, a loss for the Vols against Pitt this past weekend?
Yeah, it was a bummer, but to be honest, I was actually pretty impressed with Tennessee's defense. I mean, I thought that the defense did everything that you could ask a Josh Heupel defense to do in order to give them a chance to win that game. And I know, obviously, Pittsburgh ends up with 41 points, but given some of the tough situations the offense put them in, I thought the defense played a pretty tough game. And like I said, did what you would expect a Josh Heupel defense to do in order to give your offense a chance. Now it's just a matter of getting that offense going. And it's not been pretty so far. Even in the Bowling Green game, the offense didn't look good. And again, there were some moments on Saturday where you could see it, but I still don't think it's even anywhere close to operating in the ways that Josh Heupel wants it to.
David, you probably would be shocked to know that we are full on in a quarterback controversy down here in Knoxville. Some people are Team Joe Milton. Those numbers are dwindling. Some people are talking a little bit about Hendon Hooker, and then everybody seems to be jumping on the "we haven't seen him yet, but he's got to be the best" Harrison Bailey. What do you make of Tennessee's quarterback situation, and is there a clear-cut favorite to you that gives Tennessee the best opportunity to win?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not totally ready to give up on Milton yet. I was frustrated, too, watching him overthrow those, you know, receivers so often against Pittsburgh, especially when they had schemed him open pretty well. That was frustrating. The one that really grinded my gears was, it was an offsides penalty or a too many men on the field for Pittsburgh, so you had a free play. So if there's ever a time to kind of dial it back and, you know, risk the interception and not overthrow your receiver, it's when you have the free play and he still bombed the guy by a solid, you know, 5 to 10 yards. That was frustrating to see. I'm not ready to totally throw in the towel on Joe Milton maybe being the guy, though. I mean, I think there's something to be said for the fact that he came in over the summer without spring practice and won the trust of that staff pretty quickly. I mean, he's been pretty good at taking care of the football for the most part. I still think he has the strongest arm of anybody in that bunch. And that doesn't just mean the deep ball, right? Like, that's throwing an out route. It's sitting the ball into a tight window on a slant route. There's more to arm strength than just the deep ball. And Milton provides that. But, I mean, Hendon Hooker looked good. And I would hope against Tennessee Tech it's the type of game where they can maybe get all three of them some looks. I mean, I don't see what there would be to lose by giving Harrison Bailey a few series, especially now, you know, with the redshirt rules the way they are, he can appear in up to 4 games, you know, this season and retain the year of eligibility. So I think that would be a wise move. If nothing else, we know how quickly quarterbacks are to transfer in this era. You want to throw a guy a bone, get him some action. So, I mean, that would be high on my objective list if I was Tennessee this week going into a game against an FCS team, would be to get all three quarterbacks in the game.
We're talking to David Cobb from CBSSports.com. David, what chance do you give Florida to either pull off the upset or have a chance to do so in the fourth quarter against Alabama this weekend?
Not much. I'm really down on Emory Jones. I mean, no shock, I think most people are, after seeing him play in those first two games. And now you're going into a game where the competition level is going to increase dramatically. I mean, Florida Atlantic was a decent Conference USA team last year. USF is really struggling. Those are their two games that they have under their belt, and Emory Jones really didn't look good against either of them. So I'm not in favor of starting Anthony Richardson against Alabama. I think that would be unwise to give a redshirt freshman his first career start against the number one team in the country when you know you're probably not going to win anyway. So I think they're kind of pigeonholed, especially with Richardson's hamstring being a little bit of an issue. I think they're kind of stuck with starting Emory Jones in that game, and I just don't think they're going to be able to keep up with Alabama and the way that Alabama's probably going to score in that game.
Hey, let me ask you this. Who do you think right now is the worst team in the SEC West? Because there's been some surprises. It looks just like such a strong division with so many at least capable teams.
I feel like you guys want me to say LSU, and I'm kind of thinking about it. I'm kind of considering that because everybody thought Arkansas and Mississippi State were the clear-cut bottom feeders in that division. And what did they do last week? Arkansas goes and just demolishes Texas. and Mississippi State beats a pretty good NC State team by two touchdowns. So that tells you something about the depth of that division. So I think outside of Alabama, I think the other six teams in that division could all beat each other under the right circumstances. So it's a wild division, and I'm not even willing to say necessarily that Alabama is invincible. I'm real curious to see what Ole Miss can do against Alabama, and I'm also curious if Haynes King plays, you know, maybe to see if Texas A&M could close the gap after they got blown out against Alabama last season. So honestly, it might be LSU. They might end up being the worst team in the SEC West, which is unfathomable. But with as good as Arkansas and Mississippi State looked last week, like, I don't think you can just safely assume that they're going to end up 6-7 in the SEC West.
We're talking to David Cobb from CBSSports.com. What do you think about Auburn going on the road to Penn State? They're going to have a big-time atmosphere there. Penn State's 2-0 to start the season. What do you think?
Yeah, I like Auburn, I think, more than most people do. The problem that I have with Auburn in this game is the uptick in competition is severe, I mean, and dramatic. They played an Akron team that I think is one of the worst in the FBS in week one. It wasn't even a fair fight. And then in week two, they beat Alabama State, which is an FCS team that, again, not a fair fight whatsoever. So now they go and play a Penn State team that has been tested, that went on the road and beat Wisconsin, and then that handled business against a much better MAC team in Ball State. So with that atmosphere at night, Happy Valley is one of the top toughest places to play in the country. I just think the uptick in competition and the severity of the home field advantage puts Auburn, you know, in a tough spot. So I've got Penn State winning and covering the spread in that game.
Hey, who do you think we're not talking about enough when it comes to that team might be a disruptor right now in the SEC?
Yeah, Kentucky. I think their game against Missouri flew under the radar a little bit on Saturday night because of some of the other action around the country. You know, neither Kentucky or Missouri were ranked. So in some ways that game was kind of one you had to seek out, which I'm sure a lot of Tennessee fans did just out of interest, you know, to see two future opponents. But I think Kentucky, with the explosivity factor added in to that offense, is pretty dangerous. I mean, Wandale Robinson, the Nebraska transfer, is a dangerous, dangerous playmaker. And they've got Liam Cohen, the new offensive coordinator from the NFL, in there scheming ways to get him the ball. And make no mistake, there's still a team that can run it down your throat. I mean, Rodriguez just, you know, put up some monster numbers against that Missouri defense on the ground. But with Levis at quarterback and with some of those playmakers that they finally have, the offense for Kentucky is much more versatile. And, you know, with Stoops, we know the defense is going to be solid. So I think Kentucky's a team that could be pretty disruptive and maybe pull a couple of upsets this season.
David, if you could get one ticket on a coach to be the head coach of the USC Trojans in 2022, who would you buy that ticket on?
I like it. I'm going Luke Fickell. I think the relationship there, my colleague Dennis Dodd pointed this out with something he wrote the other day. Mike Bone, the USC athletic director, is the athletic director who hired Luke Fickell at Cincinnati. And as we've seen in Tennessee, those relationships mean something. And, you know, I'm not saying Luke Fickell is going to be Bone's first choice. I mean, he might have illusions of grandeur in his head over who he can get. But if it push comes to shove and you got to go to option number three or four, that relationship is there. And I think Fickell is a coach who, despite the fact that he spent most of his career in the state of Ohio, could be really successful at USC. I think USC is a job that the right coach can come in and win 10 games in year one and win a Pac-12 championship in year two. And so if Fickell's waiting around for the Ohio State job to open, he might be waiting for a long time. And he can go to USC and really kind of take that next step in his career. And I think his relationship with Mike Bone might be a factor that could, you know, kind of convince him that it would be the move.
Where does the USC job rank right now, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a top 10 job, honestly, because, like I said, the competition in the Pac-12 is such that the right candidate can come out, you know, come out there and win 10 games in year one. They've got talent on that roster. I mean, they really do. I think they need to kind of go back to the drawing board on offense, because a lot of people associate the air raid with explosivity and tons of yards and points, and it wasn't producing that, you know, for USC under Clay Helton. Even with a couple of really good running backs and a good quarterback in Keaton Slovis, they were struggling offensively. So I think it's a place where somebody can win right away. I mean, resources-wise, it's got everything you need, and the recruiting base is strong. The brand is strong. I just think there's no reason why that can't be a job that somebody goes to and succeeds in right away.
Hey, David, before you go, a basketball thought. As football is the focus, but you guys have started to look ahead a little bit to basketball season. There's a piece up on maybe some long-shot candidates to win a national championship. Tennessee was the pick of Gary Parish, but what stood out as you guys were putting that piece together at CBS Sports?
Yeah, it makes me appreciate college basketball in the postseason format, because in college football, you've got your list of six or seven at the most, and realistically sometimes just three or four, if that, who can win a national title. I think in college basketball, especially in this era, it's becoming more and more wide open. And I know if you look back over the last 20 years, there have been a high number of blue blood, historically strong programs that end up winning the title. But, you know, it doesn't take much for somebody to come out of winning the Elite Eight or a Final Four in college basketball. So, yeah, Gary took Tennessee at 60-1.
All
and
right.
I was surprised that Tennessee was so far down on the odds sheet. I mean, you know, I still, to a certain degree, live in a Tennessee bubble with who I follow and you know, the circle that I come from. So maybe I've just followed their roster overhaul a little closer than Vegas. But with all the talent that's coming in there and with what some of the pieces they bring back, I mean, there's a lot of value at Tennessee 60-1. I went with Oregon, and I really talked myself into that one, and I can tell you guys why the Ducks are in good shape. But I think it's interesting. There's some good value out there right now, and we've got four of those teams highlighted in that piece that you mentioned.
Yep. Go check it out, cbssports.com. Football and basketball already covered for you. And you're right about football. Who's a long shot to win the national title at the beginning of the football season? At number five, Georgia. A bit of a long shot, but I like them. You know, that's about as deep as the conversation often goes.
It's so true.
Yeah. Hey, David, good stuff today. As always, we appreciate it. Enjoy this upcoming weekend, and we'll check in with you again next Wednesday.
All right. Thanks, guys.